Football on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power, returning football shirts to the fans. Join the movement today by using hashtag Save Our Shirt.
Louise, how are you?
Hi, Johnny, how are you?
Not too bad. Good to get you. I know you're jetting back to England. It's been an eventful 24 hours for Irish football, to put it mildly.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we've had, first of all, really just concentrating on the game, and then to get a win was, exactly our intention, clean sheet, all of that. And then the new manager got announced today. So it's certainly been an exciting 24 hours for.
Yeah, we see you obviously there with the team last night. It looked like Montenegro had kind of maybe learnt a bit from just the battering they got in their last game, because they seemed to set up fairly defensively, which must have made it a little bit tougher for you guys last night in Tala.
Yeah, I think so. It's just. We know it well as well. When you really do play that low, it's hard to. It's really difficult to play through teams, and it's something as well where we've got to learn to become more comfortable on the ball and being like knowing how to use it and know how we need to move when we have the ball and then when we don't have the ball. So it was definitely difficult, but for us. Yeah, maybe wasn't the one of our tidiest performances, but we were trying a lot and maybe sometimes tried a bit too hard and quite forced balls through in between the lines. But sometimes you've got to take those chances, and we knew that our recovery to losing balls is brilliant. So we were at the end of the day it's 3 points and that's exactly what we wanted.
How would you assess the performance in general?
I would say positive, but definitely with so much to pick up on and learn from it. I think everyone's intention was really positive, but sometimes I think we were just overdoing it at times. Just trying to force those balls, and then if things weren't working for us, we would maybe like individuals would try spark something and. That was it. Sometimes Katie was moving from left to right, coming in central, where, sometimes it was almost just the better, just stay wide, keep the width, and just move the ball a little bit quicker. But, it was all a good cause for the team, but sometimes we just needed to, just relax it a little bit. We know we can play that system a bit better, but maybe first game nerves and home crowd and stuff like that. But yeah, literally overall, quite positive. And some of us have already looked over the game, and it's a massive learning game.
Katie put in a fair shift as well.
Yeah, she's brilliant. She's just such an exciting player. And I think just even where she, where she started 2 years ago when she took over as captain of the team, I think that was it was a lot for her to take on, and she was going through a lot of transition in Arsenal. But just now, looking at her, she's really turned into a proper leader, and she's certainly doing that on the pitch, and she's exciting to watch and exciting to play with, and she's doing exactly what you want your captain to do, and there's still so much to come from her, which is slightly frightening.
Yeah, it was also like it wasn't the warmest kind of midweek night in the world. You got a decent crowd, over 3,500 in Tala as well, which you must have been happy with.
Yeah, of course, that was that gives us such a buzz as well, and then the fact that it was on RTE as well, that we want as much coverage as that game as possible. But that was it, and so many fans stayed after the game, and were just looking to get in hello, get a picture, whatever they could, and that gives us so much as players. And yeah, as we've been working so much, you could obviously 20x20 were, had themselves all around the pitch, massive banners and concepts, and that's exactly what this team wants to be part of, is creating the next generation of footballers by coming to our games and just getting it grown.
Yeah, did you know then after game what was impending? Obviously, Tom O'Connor has his chat, which I guess he congratulates you guys on winning the game. And there was even a suggestion then online last night that he might be stepping into the breach. But big development since obviously Vera Powell got the job. A big appointment really. And did you guys know this was coming, or was there a bit of shock?
Like, no, we didn't know it was going to be happening so soon. We were given a bit of indication that it was going to. you know, that it was going to be happening soon. And then, you know, I think we all kind of made that that assumption that they'd wait until the game, if the game was over, just let us concentrate on the football. And so then it was just a very, very exciting appointment. And it was great then, you know, a couple of us went into Abbottstown today to meet her properly as well. And she did actually introduce herself to the team last night, very, very briefly after the game. You know, but then a few of us went in for a chat with her today just to kind of get to know her and see, you know, what her thoughts are. And yeah, so it was really, really nice to meet her. And then what she has in mind for this team is really exciting. And her experience of, you know, at all different levels, and you know, she's coached all different types of teams and from club to international. So it's, you know, on paper she has an absolutely, you know, unbelievable CV, and then talking to her in person as well, she really backs that up. So yeah, you know, we're very excited.
She was the first Dutch woman to play professionally outside the country, signed for Medina in 1988, began her management career in Scotland in 1998, led the Netherlands European Championship semi-finals in 2009. She's managed Russia, she's managed South Africa, and notwithstanding all of that, I don't care whether you're under 12, under 14, men or women, if you have a Dutch person managing you, you've got to get a little bit of a tingle there that she's going to implant some fairly kind of fascinating and exciting ideas.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's it. At Arsenal, you know, we had four Dutch teammates this year. We have three, and we've obviously played them in a group. We know exactly that quality that they bring. And even how Reid Doctor was talking, he actually coached her back when she was playing as well.
Wow.
She was a massive factor to growing the game in the Netherlands. And was a massive factor to, you know, got those younger players involved, which would be the ones that we're playing with now, Danielle van der Donk, Vivian Medina. So yeah, listen, that's massive.
You and Katie obviously go back to Arsenal, but what will it entail for Vera in terms of how often is she going to be around the squad? How often will she be able to meet you? How often will she be in Ireland and so on?
Yeah, that bit we don't know at the moment. I suppose we were just, you know, really just trying to get an idea from each other about, you know, what we want for the team. And that's what's going to happen in the next 3 weeks. It's a really short turnaround until our next game against Ukraine. So I don't think, you know, I think in terms of what she can do, she's already looked at, you know, loads of videos of us and is looking at players, and will then of course be looking to come to clubs. So, you know, I can be sure that she'll probably definitely get around to, you know, a lot of the girls based in Ireland. And then once things have settled a little bit more, it'll be, you know, making sure to come over abroad, come to England and just meet everyone at their clubs as well.
I guess, you know, there's been plenty written about the problems that you guys have had in terms of how the FAI have sort of treated you and the difficulties you have faced. But at least from the outside looking in, this looks a very, very positive step in terms of they see the potential there and they see the need to treat this team properly.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that was something as well that they did put across to us when they were trying to, you know, going through the interview process for a new manager. They didn't want to rush it. They didn't want to put someone in because they thought they had to. Even though these Euro games are coming up, and that's what they were reassuring us about, and you know, reassuring that they were really going to get the right person for the job. And you know, as soon as they said her name, you know, instantly I knew who she was. Mm. I knew, you know, a couple of the teams that she has managed, and yeah, listen, so you know, it really, her reputation and her CV really speaks for itself. So that's the thing. I think the FAI have been really thorough. And we've been chatting to Noel Mooney, and he's really, you know, kind of just kept us in the loop. Maybe not necessarily about who's there and who's not, but he's like, the process is going very well, and you know, it's hopefully going to happen soon. Just, you know, just concentrate on the football, and you know, and we've got it sorted.
Just finally as well, the Ukraine game you mentioned is upcoming. Are we entitled to be optimistic going into that in the back of this, and just the confidence level that you get from that game last night as well, after a fairly, you know, a few weeks of turmoil since Colin Bell obviously left?
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, of course we're gonna take some huge positives from it last night, and I think as much as, you know, for a stage as well, we were a little bit disappointed as well with maybe the result and a bit of the performance, just wanting it to be better. But at the same time, that's a great disappointment, because there's so much more that we can improve on, and there's so much, you know, everyone knows they can raise their game again by another 15-20%, you know, if not more. So, yeah, listen, this this is Ukraine game. This is a massive one for us. We need to be, and on our home pitch again, you know, it's vital that we get, you know, 3 points and nothing else, and then we'll get ready to move on to the next one. But yeah, to have Vera in then for that, and I just think she has a really simple but effective, you know, sort of way of coaching. So yeah, like, just again, just really, really exciting, and just happy now to be settled and have that manager.
When do you face Germany?
We face Germany in the first game is April.
Right, so there's plenty of time. I see they beat the Ukraine 8-0 as well, so after battering Montenegro, you're going to have plenty of time to prepare.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah, of course. Listen, they did. They had a great couple of games, and yeah, put away 18 goals in 2 games.
Not bad.
Not bad at all. But listen, that's something I think that we're going to be very, very good at, is obviously not, you know, we're very good at not conceding. So, you know, that's going to be something for us. They're going to, you know, I think, and by that stage, we'll definitely have progressed as a team and have done more. But, you know, we're just taking it game by game. As long as we can pick up our points along the way. At the moment, yeah, they've got 2 for 2, but, you know, we've got 1 for 2, and then that's hopefully going to be, you know, the same story this time next month as well.
Yeah, forget about defending. Now, we expect total football when you have a Dutch coach in the reins. But thanks a million for taking the call, and safe flight to London.
Lovely. Thanks a million, Johnny.
Football on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power, returning football shirts to the fans. Join the movement today by using hashtag SaveOurShirt.
And you are very welcome back. We have Ireland under 21 boss Stephen Kenny on the line. How are you, Stephen?
Hi, Johnny. How are you?
I got to call you on something here. We have the chance to get a glimpse of Spurs' second striker in the running behind Harry Kane, the second best striker at the club. They were the third best team in the Premier League, got to a Champions League final last year, and you were telling us he mightn't even play on Friday for the under 21s.
Well, you shouldn't believe everything you read, Johnny.
it's exciting, though.
Yeah, we're very happy with the squad. You know, I think fairly young, like, it's probably the youngest under 21 squad in a long time, because, say, for example, this squad we have at the moment, we've no players from the previous campaign. Yeah, 11 of this squad will be eligible for the campaign after this. So it is, there's a lot of players in the 2000s, like, it is 98 and 99 age group, but with a lot of players in the 2000, 2001, 2002 bracket.
Yeah, you mentioned those attacking options. You've obviously Afolobi, Adam Ida, Aaron Connolly, who's made an immediate impression, obviously, at Brighton. Then you have Obafemi, who's been injured, and Troy Parrott. It's potentially, on paper, extremely exciting.
Yeah, I think the getting the balance right is important. I think as a team, too many attacking players at once. I think you just need to complement each other. And I think, we've done a lot. We're in since Monday, so we've had a few days to work together. And you can achieve a lot in those few days. And the players have a clear indication, because we've got, you know, several changes in this squad. So it gives them an opportunity to work over the last few days with a view to the game against Armenia on Friday and Sweden next Tuesday.
I'm not trying to put too much pressure on Troy Parrott, but you've finally seen a good bit of him over the last sort of couple of days in training. What are his qualities?
Troy is just one player. Like, I think, we've got Troy, we've got Jonathan Afolabi, who was voted as, you know, in the top four players in the European Under 19 Championships, you know. Mm-hmm. So and also Adam Ida, who's been leading the Lion for us in the Toulon tournament and scored two in the previous qualifier. So we've got Troy is a young player, he's 17, and he's not played for the first team yet, and he's not played for the under 21s yet. So he's only played a couple of games in the pre-qualifying tournament for the under 19s. So he's a lot of development to do, but he obviously is a natural goal scorer and has great attacking instincts. And he's a terrific lad. He's a really brilliant young man, and so he has the capacity to be very good. But it's early days for him, and you know, he's an important part of the squad.
Stephen, it's Kieran Cunningham. Stephen, just what you're saying about Troy there and mentioning the other exciting young attacking players you have, it's a long time since Ireland have had that kind of young attacking potential. Are you a bit wary that there's too much hype building about it? There's putting a little bit too much pressure and too much expectation. As you say, it is a really young squad.
Yeah, no, I'm not really worried about that at all. Like, you know, because, you know, I'm not concerned about that at all, because I want the players to go and really be confident and express themselves in a confident manner. So that doesn't concern me. I think it's important to have, you want the under-21 internationals to be events in themselves. And that hasn't always been the case. So sometimes there has been some good games over the years in Sligo and Cork and so forth. But I think, sometimes there's been small crowds and not a lot of coverage. And I think, we want them to be events in themselves, because we want the players to really have an incredible desire to play for Ireland at the under-21 level and see it as a real vehicle and a stepping stone to get into the senior international team, and also to help Ireland qualify for the Ireland under-20 or for the European under-21 championships, which we've never managed in our history, never qualified for it. So I was at it this year in Italy, and it was a brilliant tournament, real all the top players, Moise Keane, for example, and Cutrone, played last week against each other for Wolves and Everton, playing the front for Italy. England had Calvert-Lewin, Solanke, Tammy Abraham up front, they had Ben Foden and so forth, and Spain had Dani Ceballos, and all great tournament, 20,000 at the matches, some of the matches. Romania were terrific. Yeah, it was a really, really good tournament. So, from our point of view, we should have an aspiration to and an ambition to try and qualify. It's difficult to qualify because only the first team qualifies and second gets in the playoff. We're in a really tough group because we've got Italy, Sweden, and Iceland are seeded above us. But we are the fourth seeds. But we want to. The message, all the coaching staff and the players. We certainly don't feel the fourth best team in the group, and we don't need to feel that way, and we should approach the games with confidence and enjoy the games, and you want the players, the talented players, to fulfil their potential and to show show their array of talents, and because first and foremost, they are a lot of good people in the group, and I think they're nothing without hard work, so they understand that if you're willing to work as hard, you're willing to work, have a really high work ethic and work hard for the team, we'll allow the individuals to flourish within the team.
Just Leo Connor as well, he obviously signed for Celtic from Manchester United, a player I've been very impressed by, the little I've seen of him, and he is a player that you spoke about during the week as well.
Yeah, Lee is from Villa United in County Waterford, and certainly it's unusual from a small club like that to have Jason Malumbi, who's our captain, and Leo Connor, who just moved from Manchester United to Celtic from the same team, same schoolboy club. And I think it's a great achievement, really. And Lee, he played the five matches in Toulon. The only player who did that against Brazil, two matches against Mexico, and he could have played another few. Like, he was so durable, every 3 days just go again, go again, go again, and he was terrific getting up and down that right flank all day, and very good natural defender. I think he went to the, you know, European Under 19 Championships then under Tom Moan and played in the centre midfield and did a great job, you know, captained the team. So he's had an opportunity to go to Celtic and tried to make it to Manchester United. There's no doubt about it. Have, you know, they've just signed Wan-Bissaka and Diego Dalot last season for a lot of money. And it'll be hard at Celtic. It won't be easy at Celtic. They have, you know, good players also. So you have to earn the right to play there.
What sort of shape can we expect from your team on Friday night?
What shape? You mean the system?
In terms of formation and system, and obviously you have been a fan of sort of playing one up top, or even three up top, but I guess there will be an emphasis on keeping the ball anyway and moving quickly.
Yeah, I think we won't change from how we started in our approach. You know, I think to try and dominate possession. I think Armenia, good win against Moldova recently, and I've been in Armenia, obviously the Under-19 Championship, so football, you know, the great modern facilities now in Armenia, and you know, one of their teams has just qualified for the Europa League group stages actually, and so they, you know certainly, yeah, football is under Mkhitaryan's obviously the big star there, and I think they'll be tough opposition, and so we want a good performance and try and get a really good result and take that into the game away in Sweden, which will be a real tough game.
Just from listening to you as well, it does sound like this is a kind of just a good bunch of individuals you have there, not only good footballers, but it sounds like there's pretty good vibes from the camp as well.
Well, you know, they train well every day. They've trained well, and we've only been in a few days, so it's you know, we're not getting carried away with ourselves. We know every match you have to earn the right to win games, and I think apart from people are talking about the attacking players, so in the previous five games against Mexico home, against Mexico twice and against China and Bahrain and Luxembourg, the five games, the back four have only conceded one goal, and Creven Kelleher has only conceded one goal in those five games, so it's not without foundation, and I think there's been a consistent back four there, and there is competition for places, you know, it's not nailed down, you know, certainly, but there's been a consistent selection in the back four, and they've been very, very consistent.
Just finally, we obviously wish you and Keith Andrews and the boys all the best on Friday night. I was in Tala last Friday for Bows and Rovers, over 7,000 out of the ladies' game last night, 3,500. What sort of crowd are you expecting Friday? I completely expect this to sell out. I think there's a huge hype about this 21s team, but how important is that crowd to kind of get behind this young team as well?
Yeah, I'm not sure what sort of crowd we'll have, to be honest, because, you know, the focus has been on, and rightly so, on the seniors and national team against Switzerland. Tomorrow, that's a massive game, and hopefully we get the right result there. And yeah, I think obviously there's FAI Cup fixtures and one or two league fixtures as well. So I'm not sure what type of crowd we get. I do know that there is a huge amount of interest in seeing the players of the future, really, and the not too distant future. You know, players who were real talent who could hopefully emerge and represent Ireland. And so there is a lot of interest in that. People want to see these players, and you know, so hopefully we do get a good crowd. You know, I think the FAI have done a brilliant job in, you know, charging a fiver in and three for kids and all of that. And so it's a great opportunity for people to go and just go to the game and see these young players.
Best of luck, Stephen.
Thanks, Johnny. Thank you. Kieran, thank you.
Cheers.
Football on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power, returning football shirts to the fans. Join the movement today by using hashtag Save Our Shirt.